Well, like Bev mentioned, we are still in the book of Romans. We're in chapter 2. We're actually in about the 10th week now of this series. And we're picking up again with starting in verse 17 of chapter 2. Basically, what Paul's going to talk to us about is this issue of hypocrisy, which was very evident back in the life of the Jew at that time. Again, I want to be reading from the New American Standard Bible, starting with the 17th verse. And if you want, you can follow along. I believe the words will be on the screen. Correct. It says, "But if you bear the name Jew and you rely upon the law and you boast in God and know his will and approve the things that are essential, being instructed out of the law and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, a corrector of the foolish, a teacher of the immature, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and of the truth. You therefore who teach one another, do you not also teach yourself? You who preach that one should not steal, do you steal? You who say that you shall not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law through your breaking of the law, do you dishonor God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, just as it is written." You know, we've been looking at how Paul's really trying to get the Jews of his day to come to an understanding that they needed to really come to terms with reality. In other words, they need to get a good dose of reality. And they had to come to the point to where they understood that just because you got the law, just because you are called God's people, you were still facing the wrath of God himself because you were not really a doer of the law. You heard the law, you had the law, but you didn't apply the law yourselves. So Paul's telling them that in order for them to be judged righteous, they must have one thing, F-A-I-T-H, faith. They had to have faith. Faith particularly in one person, and his name is Jesus Christ. Now, I want to think for just a moment about what we've been seeing and see if we can kind of imagine I wonder what kind of response Paul got when he gave this particular part of this message. I suspect it was kind of harsh. I don't think that he got one of those, "Preach on, Brother Paul, preach on." You know, I just don't think so. Especially about the time that he got to verse 24 where he said, "For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you." I don't think that his Jewish crowd was going, "Yeah, bro, that's it. Amen." I really don't think they were getting that way. I think they probably were about ready to say, "Take him out and stone him. We don't want to hear that." You know, I put a complete definition from Bible Dictionary there in your notes, and you can look at it because it tells a little bit about what this word blaspheme means. But blaspheme basically means that you're going to hurt the reputation of someone by words or by slander. And the way Paul was using it here in this context, he meant they were hurting the reputation of God. They were hurting not only his reputation, but they were hurting everything about his divine nature. The other thing that is really kind of interesting is as you research the definition a little bit more, you find out that it also means reviling against the Holy Spirit, like we find in Luke and also in Mark, which talks about when a person resists the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, which leads him or her to repentance and turning to Jesus Christ. In fact, that's the only sin that will sin that keeps somebody out of heaven. Is not believing in Jesus Christ when the Holy Spirit convicts you and leads you to accept him. It's saying, "No, I don't need him. I won't do this." Amen? I mean, it's really plain and simple. So what Paul's saying to the Jews of his day is that they, being God's people, were in fact hurting God personally and by their witness. Because, I mean, sometimes, you know, what we say or what we witness is a lot stronger and what we're doing. Amen? In other words, our lifestyle tends to be a lot louder witness sometimes than what comes out of our mouths. correct? Amen? Okay. Let's try to personalize this. Probably all of us have had a time when we were growing up where we had somebody who really thought the world of us. Most of the time it's our moms and dads, right? Maybe it's because they're biased. But oftentimes our moms and dads think the world of us, right? When you're growing up. And they were really proud of you for everything that you were. I mean, wherever you went, they just kind of beamed and everything. But then one day, once upon a time, you did something wrong. Not just little wrong, but big time wrong. Anybody been there? I never did. No, thank you. Yeah, no, really. I did. I mean, I was that way. My mom and dad, I mean, I'm preaching to myself here because my mom and dad, I was up here on their little pedestal. And I was just waiting for somebody, and somebody came along and knocked it out from underneath of me one time. Maybe it was, you know, there were all sorts of things. I mean, here I was, the good little boy. My mom was a guidance counselor and all that stuff at the local school. And here's her son, and one day I got a ticket. And you know where it had to be. It had to be in hometown U.S. of A. You know, it wasn't out there in Nowheresville where nobody would know, but the police chief knew her too. So, I mean, all of a sudden, here is perfect boy, choom, out with the pedestal. Took me down a notch or two, but I hurt them. You know, it was like, oh, I mean, they didn't chew me out. It was, how could you? I'm disappointed. Thank you. Those have to be the words. I am so disappointed. Four hard words that a child never wants to hear coming from his or her loving parents. How about, you know, maybe later on, maybe, and this one did not happen to me. It did happen to somebody in our family. I won't mention his name. But anyway, before he had a driver's license, he was a good kid. And Jenny and I thought the world of him. But before he had a driver's license, he has to go and take a car out and drive it. Guess who saw him? One of the DPS guys. That's Department of Public Safety. It's like state police who lived down the road from us. Guess who told me about it? That my perfect son. I mean, he could have gotten in a whole lot of trouble. But, I mean, you know, it's kind of like, oh, I'm so disappointed. Those came out of my mouth. So, you know, we do some of these things that hurt our mom and dad. Maybe we had a brother or sister and we did it there. Maybe even, you know, you got a boss at work who really thought the world of you, and you did something that just knocked you down in their sight. It dishonored them. Because, I mean, they've been bragging about you, right? That's what God was doing. God brags about the Jew. But here's one. Everybody throw another zinger in here. Let's take this individual who does one of these things. Let's say that they're a Christian. Oh, gosh. Now we've got all these people who know that he or she is a Christian, and they go and they get knocked down off of their pedestal, and they look at them and they go, oh, you're a Christian, and you did that? Amen? Right? So here it is. We know that we do something that we really shouldn't have. We dishonor then somebody who really loves us a lot and who we love a lot. And then as a Christian, haven't we dishonored God ourselves? Yeah. Well, Paul's telling the Jews that's exactly what they've been doing. He said, this is exactly what has been happening between you and God. So as we look at the passage today, Paul goes on and he explains to the Jew of his day that their disobedience, their very disobedience, was actually a dishonor to God himself. And that was because they knew the law and they had the law. They knew it and they had it. What do we have today as Christians? God's word. Amen? We know it. We have it. So anyway, Paul goes and then wants to break this down. So here were the Jews. They knew the law. They had the law. And here they were, Paul saying, hey, look, but that doesn't mean that you're going to be in God's favor, folks. He said, that doesn't mean that you're going to be in God's favor. So he breaks it down into two sections. Starts off in verse 17 to 20, and we'll say those again. I don't think you can ever read Scripture too much. But if you But if you bear the name Jew and rely upon the law and boast in God and know his will and approve the things that are essential, being instructed out of the law and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, a corrector of the foolish, a teacher of the immature, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and of the truth, right? Here is Paul saying, look, you have such an awesome advantage. You've got a real advantage because you've got this all here that God has given you. And he says, on top of that, you have got a ministry that God has given you. See, I'm just kind of paraphrasing all of this down, but he says, you've got a ministry that God's given you, and it was a ministry to all of the world, to all, even all include all of the Gentiles. He said, here you are the proud Jews. He said, you're boasting of God, you're proud, and you should be, rightfully. He said, you're descendants of Abraham, you're a special people, you're called sons of Israel, right? I mean, this is who they were called. They were called the sons of Israel. Anybody remember why they were called sons of Israel? How come they weren't called sons of Abraham? There was somebody who came along a little bit after Abraham whose name was Jacob, and he got into a wrestling match with God. And then what happened? God changed Jacob's name to Israel, and from that point on, God's people became known as the sons of Israel. So here they were proud of who they were God's chosen people, they bore the name, they boasted upon the name. I mean, no matter where they made sure that people knew who they were. And on top of that, here they had the law that God had given to them on the mountain. He gave it to Moses, right? To give to them. And so God had spoken, he had given, and all of this, and they were boasting in this, and they're relying upon just the fact that they are sons of Israel, and that God had done this special thing. Well, Paul went on, and he said, that's not even far enough. He said, there's even more. He says, you even know the will of God. Why did they know the will of God? They had his word, didn't they? Why can we know the will of God today? We've got his word too, right? So, guys, so here they were instructed in God's law, and rightfully so, then they were supposed to be teachers of the law to all of the people, so even the Gentiles, teaching them, the Bible says, the whole knowledge and the whole truth of God's law. In other words, they were supposed to be sharing who they were. They were supposed to be sharing their testimony. They were supposed to be sharing this knowledge and this truth. And by their lives, they were supposed to be honoring God. Well, Paul goes on then into verse 21, and he starts to come down on them. And he says, and he uses a statement question type of argument. He says, you therefore who teach one another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that one shall not steal, do you steal? You who say that one should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? What was going on here is the Jews were even going into some of the pagan temples and taking out some of the stuff that was in the pagan temples, which was, in fact, stealing. They didn't see it as that. They saw it as cleansing the pagan temples of the pagan gods. But they were going in without permission and just taking the stuff out at times. So it goes on and says, you who have then boast in the law through your breaking of the law, do you not dishonor God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles, as it is written. So here Paul is, he's reminding the Jews that they not only have a tremendous advantage because of who they really are and what they have been given them, but God has also given them the responsibility. He's given them a responsibility to teach his statutes through both how they live and through word. And he goes on and points out that, one, you know what? You know all this stuff. You preach all this stuff even, but you don't practice it. Does that sound familiar sometimes in our own lives? How many times do we preach what we don't practice, right? Oh, quiet. See, I got whooped up on already. This is second go. Actually, it's third or fourth go for me, but anyway. So he said, through your own personal disobedience, you are dishonoring the name of God by simply transgressing, by simply not following the law that God has given to you, and in effect, everybody else sees it. So what Paul's really talking about here is one little simple word, hypocrisy, isn't he? Real simple word. He said, you guys are all being a bunch of hypocrites. In other words, you were preaching to others what they shouldn't do. You were preaching to them that they shouldn't commit these sins. But in reality, you're living lives and you're acting out the same sins in your own life. Your teachers, you are sinning just as much as the others. And the Gentiles, Paul's saying, aren't stupid. The Gentiles see the double standard. You're saying one thing, but you do something different. In other words, they saw the hypocrisy in what was going on, which is why he went on to say that they were blaspheming the name of God. This thing of hypocrisy is very subtle, isn't it? Because it drifts and creeps into your lives. It creeps into all of our lives. It had crept into their lives. Jesus even, he warned the disciples, his followers, not to fall for the sin of hypocrisy. He talked about that in Luke 12. He said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. He was showing them that this sin of hypocrisy is really, really bad. And it's a common condition. And it can affect and does affect even Christians today, doesn't it? Guess what? It affects preachers. It affects Sunday school teachers. It affects life group leaders. It affects elders. It affects children's workers. It affects preschool workers. It affects youth workers. It affects leaders of all, no matter where they are. It even affects parents, because parents teach their children, don't they? So no matter what we teach or where we teach or who we teach, we're probably susceptible to falling prey of this thing called hypocrisy. And that's any time that our lives don't match up with what we're preaching and teaching. Amen? And that becomes a double standard. The Jews were under this. That's what they were doing. It was this double life. James talked about it, and he says in James 3:1, he said, don't let too many of you become teachers. You know, it's not just the preachers, it's not just the me who's standing up here. It's each one of us, because we are all teachers in different ways, right? But James says, let not too many of you become teachers, my brethren. And there he is, in fact, talking about those who have the role within the churches of preaching and teaching. He says, because you're going to get a much stricter judgment. That's why sometimes I think the elders don't like me reminding them that they're also called preachers and teachers, you know? I mean, God called us to this. I've got a real short video clip that I think is going to illustrate the hypocrisy thing. It kind of also breaks some of the seriousness a little bit, but it doesn't really get away from the seriousness. So, Paul, if you'll run the clip right now. Saw a lot of things of that, didn't we? I mean, the dude was really, he was really laying his Christian story out there on his unsaved friend. But boy, he was sure coming back and negating a lot of it, wasn't he? Poor guy, you know, he ought to get a job. Wow, rough. Okay. You know, I know in our hearts, as Christians, we don't want to show double standards. And you know what? The Jews didn't want to either. That really was not their mindset. They didn't set out to do that. But we today can be just exactly like them, just like our little friend in here, and dishonor God by living lives that show something completely different than what God has called us to. And see, when we do, then we're just like the Jews, and we have this double life standard. It's really what it is. Because we go around, we condemn the sin, we condemn this sin, that sin, we rant against it, we point fingers at somebody, and we're doing nothing more than blaspheming the name of God when we commit the same types of sins or even other sins that other people see. It's one thing I was telling the first service. I said, you know what, it's kind of like take your one finger and point it. I'll point it at Stan. Stan never sins. You know, and if I start lecturing Stan about Stan does this and Stan you shouldn't do that, how many have I got pointing back at me? Thank you very much. You know, so when we point our accusing finger at somebody and say, you shouldn't be doing and you oughtn't be, just remember, and while you may be right, it may be correction and you may be doing it in the right manner, just always remember that God may be pointing three other ones back at you and saying, hey, you know, do a little bit of examination yourself. I want you to be pure. Amen. So we don't want to blaspheme the name of God. Now, there's a lot of examples in our own lives. You know, we don't want to be too quick to judge other people. And I think one of the things that I've found is what we tend to do as we judge other people is we don't want to really look at ourselves in the same light. Amen? Because I don't know how many times we've all probably been around folks that start condemning or start judging somebody else, but that will not be the person who will sit down and take the time to do self-examination. They just won't look at their own life. They're the ones that are so confident in who they think that they really are that they go around acting like, well, if everybody in the church were just like me, man, this would be a great church to come to. You know, I know I look around here and, you know, every once in a while, even since I've been here at Dallas, and some of you guys that have been here a long time have probably heard somebody come in and say, I'm looking for the perfect church. Thing I want to tell them right off the bat is keep on looking, because you ain't going to find it here, and wherever you go, if you do find it, it won't be once you get there, because there's no such thing. But there are folks that go around thinking that, gee, the church ought to, if they were, everybody were just like me, it'd be just great. You know, it's like you and I we've got a witness that's out there. It's like, you know, when we profess to be a Christian, lost people all around us know it. And when we go and spend, you know, all of the Sundays on the lake instead of worshiping God, all your lost friends that you're telling you're a Christian might see you as a little bit different. Because they kind of go, oh, yeah, really? They may not ever say a thing, but they'll go, oh, yeah, really? Or what about the one who, you know, I guess one of the most important ones is probably in your workplace, you know, when you get right down to it. The Bible teaches us that wherever we work, whatever we do, we're supposed to be doing our work as just like we're doing it for Jesus Christ. I know when I was in the car business and the insurance business, that's what kept me going a lot of times, especially when the business was down. I had to remember that the boss was really Jesus and not my general manager or my dealer. It was actually the Lord Jesus Christ. But I think if we go into the workplace, maybe, you know, you can take this out with you and be able to use this. When you work in the workplace, remember that you're working for the Lord as a believer. You really are, no matter whether your boss is a real jerk or not. And you have to understand that a lot of folks around you don't know Jesus. They're not Christ followers. And you always have to, what are you showing? You know, so often Christians are guilty of taking those two-hour or those extended lunch breaks when they really didn't have a business meeting to go on, but they regularly are out there for 2 hours taking lunch. And it's also the same person who usually comes in late regularly and goes home early regularly. What is the lost person who's around this person who says he or she's a Christian thinking? Amen? You know, don't we... Isn't this one of the things that we teach, thou shalt not steal? And we condemn other people for stealing, you know, the judges and, you know, whatever, politicians or whatever, or criminals. But how many times do we not steal from our employer? Amen? I mean, realistically, you know, it's our lifestyles, our lifestyles witness more than anything else. I'm afraid sometimes we get pretty quick to condemn the Jews of Paul's day, and, you know, we say that, hey, I'm a Christian. Those guys really were messed up. But I think sometimes our condemning fingers need to remind us that we need to examine ourselves. And this is part of the good news. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper this morning. Paul led a put down some pretty harsh words here, because I don't want to be guilty of blaspheming God ever. But you know what? When I mess up, the one thing that's consistent about my God, my Lord Jesus Christ, is He will forgive. And He shows His mercy, because He's a God of mercy and He's a God of forgiveness. Amen. And when He convicts me of doing something that I shouldn't have done, all I have to do is to go to Him. Amen. And He says, I'll forgive you. He's already forgiven us of all of our sins. But we want the relationship, don't we? And He wants that perfect relationship. But on top of that, you know, this is one of the other reasons why the good news of following Jesus Christ, I've got the power of the Holy Spirit in me now. And he's going to be guiding me. And He's going to keep me out of a lot of the trouble that I would get in on my own. Amen? And He's going to give me the strength. He's going to give me the power to be able to overcome some of this stuff that's out there that we face on a day in and day out basis. So as we come before the table today, as we come to celebrate the Lord's Supper, and we remember what Jesus Christ did, one of the passages that always comes back is the passage from 1 John 1:9, which tells us where if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, He'll forgive us, and He will cleanse us right back. It's kind of like getting those lampshades cleaned off. Amen? So this morning as we come to the Lord's Supper, and praise team, you guys can come on back up here. I want to share with you a passage out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to go ahead and do it silently, if you guys will. I want to read this passage because I think as we come before the table, we want to come before the table this morning with hearts that are right. We want to be prepared. Amen. And I want to share something about Dallas Baptist Church celebrates what we call an open Lord's Supper. And it means if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, we invite you to come alongside us, whether you're a member or not, and celebrate the supper because you're remembering the same Savior that we're professing this morning. But Paul wrote, starting in the 27th verse, he said, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. In other words, we should have a time where we examine our hearts with the help of the Holy Spirit and see if there's anything that is displeasing to God in there. And if there is, use 1 John 1:9. Confess it to Jesus. Tell Him. He already knows, but confess it. Ask His forgiveness, and He grants it. And he cleanses. He gets you right back. Amen. So as we bow our heads, I'm going to read this passage again. And with the help of the Holy Spirit this morning, just ask God to show you anything that's in your heart, anything that's in your life. Maybe something you did this week, maybe it's something you did a year ago, or you just haven't gotten taken care of, whatever it may be. Take care of it this morning. I'd like to read this passage one more time. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. For a man must examine himself, and in doing so, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly.